football on Off the Ball.
I just really cared about what Ludwig said. How much thanks to Paddy McCarthy, thanks to John O'Shea, thanks to Don Healy, read into all the other comments.
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
Now, the Irish Professional Footballers Benevolent Association and healthcare company Advance Medical Services have teamed up in a groundbreaking initiative to protect and enhance the well-being of former football players in Ireland. The pair will team up to provide free health screenings for 100 retired male and female footballers in Athlone across 2 days in January 2026. I'm delighted to say that Martin Lawler, Secretary of the Association, and Dr. Alan Byrne, the FEI's Medical Director and former doctor of the men's national team, have joined me here in studio. Lads, welcome along this evening.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks
you,
very much.
No problem. So, Martin, we might start with you, since you're the Secretary of the Association. So this was founded in October 2023. You launched it in February 2024. What's the main aim of the Association?
The main aim of the Association would be three areas of support. The first area of support being looking after people with medical-related hardship cases, and we're supporting a number of people at the moment. A secondary area, but no less important, would be the psychosocial mental health side of well-being for our members. And the third, which is a longer-term ambition of the Association, would be back to education for ex-players who have finished their careers and maybe are looking to just change direction in their lives. So they're the three key areas of support while we're supporting people kind of in the health-related area at the moment.
So people, maybe fans of other sports, would know that, like the GPA, the for Gaelic Games players, but there was nothing for footballers in Ireland before you had set up just 2 years ago.
No, there was nothing for ex-footballers, ex-professionals. Many, many years ago, there was a fund run by the FAI, and that fund was for ex-international players. But there wasn't anything for League of Ireland ex-professional players, male and female. And this is the reason why we've brought this about.
So with that fund that you say that was mentioned, it was done by the FAIs for ex-international players. I think I'm right in saying it was gate receipts and maybe TV money as well went towards the fund. How did you figure out that that fund was no longer available to ex-players, and what made you set up this association?
Well, I think we made some brief inquiries, but with our research, we knew that there was nothing in place at this point in time for ex-League of Ireland players. So we put the emphasis on the support of ex-League of Ireland players and the ladies who played international football for Ireland over many, many years as well.
And then Alan, you became involved in this. Obviously, you were the men's senior team doctor starting in 2003 under Brian Kerr. I mean, I'm looking at the list of the managers you worked under. Brian Kerr, Steve Staunton, Giovanni Trapattoni, Martin O'Neill, Mick McCarthy and Stephen Kenny. It's quite a list.
Yeah, I was very privileged to work with some really top-class managers and also players and great staff as well, great backroom team as well. So, yeah, I feel very fortunate to have had that opportunity, Ben.
And what then inspired you to get involved with the Benevolent Players Association?
You know, football has been extraordinarily good to me. I never thought I was going to have a career in football medicine. I've been involved in football since my father brought me to games from 3 years of age, and was lucky to work in the League of Ireland with Shelburne initially and with Shamrock Rovers. And I suppose, I think it was Mick Byrne, ex-Shamrock Rovers player, asked me would I get involved, and I was delighted. And of course, I would have known Martin and Harry, not well, but I knew the philosophy behind what they were trying to achieve was very worthwhile. So it's just nice to be able to contribute something back to the game. That's really why I got involved.
And then this screening now, it's going to take place, it's in Athlone across the 8th and 9th of January in 2026 for 100 ex-professional male and female footballers in Ireland. Does that encompass every ex-League of Ireland and women's player before the women's professional game came about here or national game came about here?
It would include all of the women who were recognised when international football was introduced, because there wasn't a formal League of Ireland league for the ladies, but there was a recognised international team. So we have taken that on board from the ladies' perspective to include them with all ex-League of Ireland players.
Okay. Alan, you said the screening results will, I hope, encourage the members to engage with their GPs. The primary aim of this programme is prevention. Is there a worry when it comes to ex-players, and maybe when you play at the League of Ireland level, you're not exposed to, I suppose, the same kind of healthcare benefits when you're playing as you would if players move across to England and elsewhere? Is there a worry that players, when they retire, that maybe they're not looking after the health as much as they should be?
I think it's not just related to football, Ben. I think men are... I've been working as a GP for 35 years, and I've definitely seen a change in how men, middle-aged and older men, are approaching their health. Women have always traditionally been much better at engaging with their health services, their primary care, GP. So there's definitely... You know, there's some medical care obviously around the players, and they're used to that. And when they leave football, they might not have that. You know, they mightn't have a relationship with a GP. So, part of this whole process was to try and create something where, if they're members of our association, that they can take advantage of this very valuable screening. You know, we purposely picked particular items to target because they are big items in terms of prevention for men and women's health around particularly cardiovascular disease and stroke.
What do you think that's down to, men not maybe being in touch with the health as much as their women counterparts may be?
I don't know, is my honest answer. I definitely have seen a change, though. That has changed in the last number of years. There's no question about that. Traditionally, I don't know, maybe not so much now, but in the past, mothers have tended to attend with their children, and sometimes that encourages an engagement with family practitioners. But as I said, the men are getting better at it, and I think we have a great opportunity with this screening to target particular areas of men's and women's health. And we're looking also at perhaps anonymising the data and working with UCD in terms of maybe showing how the trends evolve as we move through the years with this screen. We're not planning on this just being one-off. This is going to continue on year on year.
And that's probably something really important to stress as well, that the data is anonymous that's going to be collected from it, because I think, you know, it might be a concern of people when they go to screenings, which are, like you said, it's going to be shared with the likes of UCD. That's really important to stress, that it is anonymous and all the results are going to come from it. It's only going to be shared to the people who it may concern.
I think it's really important, Ben, and thanks for bringing that up. So when the screening is done, it's a nurse-led clinic. AMS have been very generous in their offering to make this feasible for us as an association so we can reach out to 100 players, 100 ex-players. The information will come back to me. I will decipher that information, and then the report will go to the player confidentially. The same level of confidentiality exists between me relating that to a player as any other medical transaction. And then that player will be given advice, that ex-player will be given advice about how to pursue that with their family doctor. But what we're trying to do is, I'll give you an idea. Two-thirds of men in their late 50s and 60s have high blood pressure. Two-thirds, and 50% of them know that. Less so for women, maybe 50%. High blood pressure is one of the major risk factors for stroke and heart disease. They're also going to get a resting ECG. There's a condition, a rhythm disturbance called atrial fibrillation, one of the highest risks for developing stroke. Devastating consequences for people who suffer those. But knowing, do you have diabetes? Have you high cholesterol? What's your prostate blood test look like? And we also are including a lifestyle questionnaire and, very, very importantly, a mental health questionnaire, which I think is not to be underestimated, along with BMI and waist circumference. So these are targeted so that we can say, this is your risk. You can bring those numbers to your GP and your risk can be calculated. And hopefully then, if it requires treatment of your blood pressure or treatment of your diabetes or treatment of your cholesterol or treatment of the, all of those things, we can prevent that event occurring down the road.
Do you think it helps that ex-footballers might hear from a doctor who's been involved in football and that maybe they know and trust a little bit more rather than someone maybe they don't have that sort of connection with?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I know a lot of footballers. I still have a lot of footballers who are patients of mine. I think trust is a really key thing. Most, I think if you look at the relationship between most general practitioners and their patients, it's based on trust. And I know from working in football, one of the key aspects you have to have with players is trust. If you don't have that, it just doesn't work.
So this this initiative, the Watch Your House and Your Health screening programme next month, is the first major initiative undertaken by the association to assist ex-players. So you've been up and running about 2 years now. How do you get funds? Because obviously you're not given government grants. Who do you work with to get funds in the door?
We have worked with an incredible countrywide committee from Galway to Waterford to Derry to Athlone. From all over the country, we have a committee formed. And over the past 2 years, we've had two golf classics, one in Galway and one in Limerick, which were just incredible events for us. So we fundraised through that. We have also had a major event in Vicar Street, which was very, very successful for us last year, which had John Giles, Liam Brady, as patrons of the Benevolent Association, and Niall Quinn, very, very politely came along and entered into the fray for us as well and has become a patron of the association. So we have people like that coming on board. We have another major golf classic coming up on the 15th of May in the Castleknock Hotel. And that's going to be a fine day, 44 teams. I believe a term used is a shotgun start. So we have... That's nearly full up, but there are still a few team spaces available. We have another Vicar Street event coming up and some other initiatives in the works at the moment, which we're hoping to extract funding from. And as we go along and we formalise ourselves into a more recognised status, we are in the final stages of our charity regulatory application as well. So when we formalise ourselves a little bit more, we hope to be able to go to a government department and talk about all the good work. The FAI themselves are very, very much behind the association as we've grown over the last 2 years, and they are now supporting us very, very strongly. So we have a number of good fundraising events under our belt, and we look forward to launching a couple of really, really exciting ones for 2026.
As you mentioned there, the FAI are involved, the PFAI as well, Supporting the Stress, have been involved. I saw a video of yourself, Martin, speaking at the Soccer Writers Award. Speaking of your fundraisers there, the Vicar Street gig obviously include our old friend John Jaws, also our own friend Nathan Murphy.
Indeed.
Was involved in that as well, formerly of these shores. I'm looking at some of the fundraisers and see a collection at the great Charlie O'Leary's 100th birthday party.
Yes.
How did that one come about?
Yeah, well, Charlie being a good East Wall man, he holds the association very close to his heart. And we were invited when Charlie heard what we were about and his love of League of Ireland soccer and his involvement, of course, for many, many years. He invited us and went ahead and any donation that may have been coming towards Charlie in terms of a present for his 100th birthday, the cheek of him being 100, he turned that into a donation for the Benevolent Association, which was just an incredible gesture by Charlie. And at 102 now, he's still going strong and still very supportive of the association.
It's wonderful. I mean, 102 is some testament to looking after your health anyways, which is what this is all about. You spoke about how this association wasn't really in existence before you set it up, but I've heard from a couple of players at the time that there was an attempt to set up an association in the mid-80s, and I'm hearing words of a strike at an Ireland game under own hand. Do you have any involvement in this?
In the older days of League of Ireland football, we had a PFAI committee, and we, let's say, didn't have a great relationship with the FAI at that time, and we were looking for better conditions for players, as was normal, always looking to improve the lot of League of Ireland players, and none of those improved conditions were forthcoming. So we wanted to try and work with the FAI, but to no avail. So we said, well, we need to do something a little bit more serious here. So we formed a picket around on the four corners of the old Lansdowne Road. And one of the unique little features of the evening was that we got the picket signs printed in Russian, which led to a lot of questions from the great supporters of Irish football, and I won't curse, but what the hell is, does that say? So we picketed to make our case, and after a very, very long period, a couple of years of not being able to get through to the FAI, very quickly after that, they sat down with us and we formed a relationship with the FAI. The fund, from an early time at that, it didn't formulate the way it should have, and it went by the wayside. So that's what happened in 1984.
I was just about to preface for people who are listening, it was an Ireland versus Russia game on their own hand in 1984. They didn't just decide to print the pickets in Russian of their own accord. But it did obviously involve in the fund getting set up, and then you came around and redeveloped the Benevolent Association as it is now. How important is it for you as an ex-player? Obviously, your time with Dundalk, where you won a double over the space of 10 years there, double twice over the space of 10 years, I should add, as you remind me. How important is it for you to get involved in association like this? And have you met any players that maybe you played with at the time that have relied on this?
So far, they haven't relied on it, but we know from our research, of which we've done a thorough research, we know that there are a lot of players, male and female, who are struggling with various aspects. When a career finishes, across all sports, it's well recognised that when the lights go out, is a saying we use, when the lights go out on the career, isolation and disassociation can affect a lot of ex-sports people. And we know that to be a case across women's soccer and across ex-League of Ireland players, male. And we knew that there were a lot of people struggling with that isolation, who had fallen on hard times. A lot of, when a career finishes, personal relationships of many, many ex-sports people become very, very challenging, and some unfortunately fall by the wayside, and sports people fall into, let's say, difficult situations. And the research showed us that there were a lot of people, quite a number of, as a percentage of ex-players, who fell into that category. And we had always felt, through conversations over the last probably 5 to 7 years, COVID hit then, and that put extra emphasis on the isolation. And through multiple conversations around cups of tea and stuff like that, we decided that we really needed to do something to help the ex-players. And out of those conversations was formed the Benevolent Association.
It's something that you mentioned there on COVID and lockdowns. I think people, obviously the initial rush was to our own physical health problems, but as you mentioned earlier, Alan, a lot of the problems are mental health problems, and COVID and lockdowns where you're not seeing people as much only heightened the extremities and the importance of looking after your mental health. And is that something at the forefront of the association?
Well, as I said to you, there's a mental health questionnaire, a very validated mental health questionnaire, and it will, you know, obviously the players, the ex-players who will be completing this will be doing this in strictest confidence, medical confidence, and hopefully if it does, you know, if you see enough yeses to various symptoms, it should encourage them to go. I would certainly be encouraging them to go to see their own GP. What I have noticed on the WhatsApp group for the members is that when they meet up at various grounds or at the golf classics, that reconnection that they had when they played against each other, actually, and some of the good-humoured banter that goes on with that. So people often talk about, you know, dementia, for example, as a social isolation is the number one modifiable factor in terms of prevention of dementia. And second to that, funny enough, is deafness. And we've been able to help at least one member with his hearing to help him not be as socially isolated as he has in the past. So the association has enabled, I've seen it, you know, in some of the pictures that I put up, people meeting for a cup of tea, people visiting each other, people going out of their way to make sure that if they're in at a game somewhere that they seek out some of the guys or girls they used to play against. And we've been lucky, we've been to the cup final as well, haven't we? The FAI have been very generous in that regard. And that's been another good social event where people, and they reconnect again, exchange phone numbers. And so they're all really important parts that are difficult. It's difficult to measure, but it's definitely of real value.
And the importance of events, like you say, going to a cup final, you can always meet up someone, go for a cup of tea, but maybe the likes of been out on the golf course or gone to games or, you know, reminiscing on old times is something that if you meet up and maybe you haven't seen a player since you played against him in the 80s or the 90s, but as soon as you make that reconnection in a familiar field, it's so easy to settle back into society.
I wouldn't know all of the players, but I can see it in front of me. You know by the connection in the group, there's a great bond there from being ex-League of Ireland players or ex-international players. There's a great bond there that is being reignited by this association.
You spoke with some of your patrons there, John Joyce and Liam Brady, and Niall Quinn now has joined along, but there's players kind of a more recent time and managers, Harry Kenny, who of course was the Pats manager only a couple of years ago, and Conan Byrne is involved in quite a large capacity. So this is not just players and League of Ireland players from maybe 30, 40 years ago. It's right up to the present day.
I think Conan has been really, really good for us in terms of that connection with the younger cohort. And probably in 2026, we are planning Conan to be a central figure in reaching out to a younger cohort to do some research with them in relation to their careers, people who have retired from the game in more recent years. What is their academic capacity? Do they want to change careers? Do they want to go? Do they want to enter into academia through courses and stuff like that? And I think that research will form the basis for us being able to start even to examine the third leg, as I described earlier on, of back to education initiatives, which will help people to, cast the net in terms of what their future choices are. I think it's well known in football, not so much in the last kind of 10 years, but anything prior to that, I think it was well known in football that the educational levels of soccer players never really reached very, very high levels. From a lot of footballers left school early, went into industry, etc. As I will qualify that, in the last 10 or 15 years, more footballers have gone to do Leaving Cert and gone into university and got diplomas and degrees, etc. But prior to that, There would have been a lot of footballers who left school at 14, 15, 16, went across, some of them came back without a leaving cert and went into employment that perhaps didn't give them a career pathway. And we're hoping to address that through helping those people to get on a career pathway through education, through diplomas, degrees, where they can really set themselves up for the rest of their life journey.
So as we spoke with lads, the initiative next month is the first that you first major initiative that you've launched. Obviously, I'm sure you've plans for many more after with more funding.
I suppose what we tried to achieve with this initiative, Ben, is to try and reach out to as many of our members as we can to, you know, to try and if we can encourage people to take up these opportunities. And if we manage to pick up certain percentage with blood pressure, as I mentioned before, or other conditions, we will definitely improve the length of their life. You know, it's something, there's no doubt to that. So this is a way in which we can reach out to a big number. We have other ideas I've mentioned about hearing, and we've also provided some psychotherapy for a couple of the members, and we're looking at also issues around maybe forming, you know, creating a bursaries around joint replacements, and we've Martin and Harry have been abroad looking at that opportunity as well. So we're very determined to make this succeed.
And hopefully you will do just that. Just a reminder for those listening, it's the Irish Professional Footballers Benevolent Association and healthcare company Advanced Medical Services providing free healthcare screenings to ex-footballers in Ireland on the 8th and 9th of January under the Watch Your House and Your Health initiative. You can check out all the details on their website, www.ipfba.org. You've been listening to Dr. Alan Byrne and Martin Lawler. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Ben.
Thank you very much, Ben. Really appreciate it.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by William Hill. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.